Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
There are two things happening here. There are internal pressures on her from her conference that the loudest voices in the room are going to be...
Ted Lieu, Cicilline.
The president is trying to troll Democrats into impeaching him. He wants it. I think he at a minimum doesn't care if they do it, but I think probably more likely believes that it would be politically advantageous for him. Mm-hmm. And he is daring. I dare you to impeach me. I dare you. He is stoking and goading and trying to get them to do it.
Do you believe what Chris Sarwalt is saying there? He was on Outnumbered, and he was saying that the way the president is pushing yesterday, they have an infrastructure meeting and it crashes and burns and it's basically done before it's over. But you have Nancy Pelosi out there saying some ridiculous things about the president, and then they're supposed to go into a meeting and have a conversation and spend billions and billions of dollars of our money on something. How is anybody in Washington, D.C. ever going to agree on anything? Because even if an infrastructure bill would get done, if the Democrats are able to get it done, there's no way that they can work with the president on anything without justifying his existence as the leader of this administration and of the country. And when you listen to the way they talk with one another and you understand Nancy Pelosi and what she's doing here, which is really hard to do, I think somebody should send help. It's hard to watch and it's hard to listen to, but this is the woman who is in charge of the House of Representatives.
The president's behavior in terms of his obstruction of justice, the things that he is doing, it's very clear. It's in plain sight. It cannot be denied. Ignoring subpoenas, obstruction of justice. Yes, these could be impeachable offenses. But I intend not. The three things. You might understand it better if you remember these three things. We want to follow the facts to get the truth to the American people, with a recognition too that no one is above the law, and three, that the president is engaged in a cover-up, and that is what my statement is. How we deal with it is a decision that our caucus makes, and our caucus is very much saying whatever we do, we need to be ready when we do it. And I do think that impeachment is a very divisive place to go in our country. And what we can get the facts to the American people through our investigation, it may take us to a place that is unavoidable in terms of impeachment or not. But we're not at that place.
How is President Trump supposed to work with that? I don't know that he can. The one thing you have to have is good faith. You can have, I kind of feel like President Xi in China, when you're talking about negotiating and you hear President Trump list off somebody like President Xi and say, hey, listen, he's trying to get what's best for China. And that's even kind of a hard thing pill to swallow because it's mostly what's best for the Chinese government in China. But when you come to the table and you're negotiating with these individuals who are leading countries, you're talking to people who are trying to get what's best for somebody whose mutual interests whose interests are not mutual, is the way I should say that. So if you go into a negotiation over economics with a completely different country, how that deal ends up benefiting one country versus the United States, Donald Trump has been one of the first people we've seen in a while who's been willing to go in and get what's best for the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
So when Donald Trump is going into a room to negotiate with Chuck Schumer and with Nancy Pelosi, Is he going in there to get what's best for the people of the United States, just like when he's negotiating the USMCA with Canada and with Mexico, or when he's negotiating NAFTA stuff, or when he's negotiating Chinese trade deals and putting tariffs on? Do you think he's in there trying to get what's best for the United States of America, or do you think he's doing something else, something nefarious? Because when he goes into these negotiations with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi on behalf of the leadership of the Democratic Party in the United States of America right now, you might be listening right now. You might be a Democrat. You might not like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. You might think they're just as bad as the rest of them. But when President Trump goes into a room to negotiate with these two individuals and any of the other leadership that are in lockstep with what they are in, their purpose, their effort is to undermine the president of the United States. They want to make sure that no matter what kind of deal would come out of this, that ultimately you would understand how they beat President Trump in whatever the negotiation or the fight or the bickering would be. Listen to Chuck Schumer.
We Democrats believe in infrastructure. We believe our roads and bridges need repair. We believe that rural America, as well as inner city America, needs broadband. We believe that to bring clean, new energy around the country, we need a power grid modernized and updated. We believe in modernizing our transportation fleet with electric cars. We believe in all these things. And so, despite signals in the previous few weeks that he might not be serious, we went forward. We came here very seriously. The president asked in his letter last night, where would Democrats spend the money on infrastructure? I was prepared to give him a 35-page plan detailing this in all the areas I mentioned and more that had the broad support of Senate and House Democrats. We were interested. We are interested in doing infrastructure. It's clear the president isn't. He is looking for every excuse. Whether it was let's do trade first, or whether it was he's not going to pay for any funding, or whether today that there are investigations going on. Hello, there were investigations going on 3 weeks ago when we met. Exactly. And he still met with us. But now that he was forced to actually say how he'd pay for it, he had to run away.
So you listen to Chuck Schumer there, and at the very beginning he's saying, We Democrats believe in infrastructure. This is everything. This is the Democrats are American people. Republicans are American people. Nobody is going into these rooms and trying to speak on behalf of the American people, especially, and I will add Donald Trump into that same conversation simply because he can't go into a conversation and defend the American people without first defending himself. The American people elected him. The American people put him into office. And the folks like Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and the people who continue to put them in office have not accepted that. So as long as we continue to move forward in this extremely, partisan's not a strong enough word, hateful way of doing business where there is no good faith. There's no good faith out there in these negotiations for people like you and me who drive on crumbling roads and have bridges that are breaking down between the state of Missouri and the state of Illinois and has to reroute traffic so people can get to their jobs. They're just trying to get to work, just trying to do your thing. And we can't get things like that fixed because you can't have the president of the United States and the leadership of the Democratic Party get into the same room and care about you and me. And that's never going to change if these Democrats won't actually discuss policy and if the president isn't able to focus his efforts on having a deal-making conversation. This is the continuation of what has come out of the 2016 campaign. Listen to what the president was saying yesterday in the Rose Garden.
It turns out I'm the most, and I think most of you would agree to this, I'm the most transparent president probably in the history of this country. We have given, on a witch hunt, on a hoax, the whole thing with Russia was a hoax.
So there is an idea placed very purposely in the campaign before President Trump was actually elected. There was an idea that was presented out there that you can't trust the president. You can't trust candidate Donald Trump to become the president of the United States because it looks like he's dealing with Vladimir Putin in Russia, that they are trying to somehow work together to steal the election from you, the American voter. That's where we get back. We're not talking about Russia collusion anymore. We're talking about Russian election interference. That's the way the Democrats talk about it now. So this entire 2.5 years of Donald Trump's presidency was planted in this candidacy, and we need to know how that started. So you have William Barr, the attorney general, who is looking into this now. And the more we find out, the more questions we have. Because when you consider the dossier, if the dossier didn't exist, would any of this exist? It's a really interesting question, and I'm going to ask it 210. The former advisor to President Trump, George Papadopoulos, is joining us. He's got a book out, Deep State Target, How I Got Caught in the Crosshairs of the Plot to Bring Down President Trump. Is that really what this all is? Is this all a plot to bring down President Trump? Was this all a hoax to try to persuade enough of you people who are out here, specifically in the state of Missouri, which was supposed to be a swing state? Was the idea of the untrustworthiness of this candidate, this New Yorker who does big business, and of course he was doing things behind the scenes with Russia. You know, pay no attention to Hillary Clinton over there. Of course, Donald Trump was doing things to try to ensure that he would win an election. And honestly, it was Hillary Clinton, the perfect candidate. She was born for this. She was made for this. She's been planning her whole life for this. The only way that candidate Trump could become President Trump is if something nefarious happened. That's what we've been led to believe this entire time. That's why they continue to live in this world where investigations make sense, because the predication on all of this was an idea. And it doesn't seem like there's anything there if you ask Robert Mueller to substantiate these claims. So when the president says he's going to walk away from an infrastructure deal until the investigation stops, do you support him? Do you think that's the right thing to do? Because I believe right now this president has to defend himself in effort to be able to defend us, because he is an embodiment of our votes. He is an embodiment of our support. And he is an embodiment of this rejection of the Hillary Clinton way of doing things. And I think in 2020, the rejection of the socialist way of doing things. I'd love to know what you think. 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797, or 866-455-9797. When this president says that he's not going to negotiate with these Democrats until the investigation stops and the infrastructure deal gets put on hold, is that the right thing to do for the country, or is it the wrong thing to do for the country? We're also going to speak with Juniper Research Group founder and CEO and author at The Federalist, Chris Jacobs. And he's going to talk to us about universal health care. He's with The Federalist. He's an expert on insurance. And we had a conversation before I took a one-day hiatus to go be with my kids on the last day of school. We had a long health care conversation, and people wanted to know more. And I'm not an expert, so I'm getting an expert. So we'll have that conversation at 12:40 as well. Highlights as soon as we return, and your phone calls in just a second.
The president deserves impeachment.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pete Buttigieg. I'm usually good at that. What the heck happened? You take one day off.
Buttigieg.
You take one day off and you lose your fastball. What the heck is going on? I don't get it.
Boot edge, edge.
There you go. Thank you.
But you took a day off in the middle of the week.
I'm so confused.
And that is really tough to bounce back for Thursday and Friday.
What's the phrase you use? Struggle bus?
Yeah, it's the struggle bus. For sure.
I think I'm driving the struggle bus.
Mm-hmm. It's also probably pretty bad if you would take off like a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then just come back for the remainder of the week.
I want to make myself a note that next year when I do this, so I took yesterday off because it was my kids' last day of school. They had a half day. My husband's a teacher, so he can't take off. They go, I think, through the end of this week, and then he has to go back for a half day on Tuesday. Which he complains about. I'm like, oh, your poor summer vacation's going to be a half day too late. And then I stop Darn. And just stare at him. Like, and he's like, I'm still not really happy. I have to go back on half day on Tuesday, but I see your point.
Talking
and by
the wrong
I see your
person.
Point, I'm not going to argue with this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still not happy. He actually said, he's like, it's going to be functional. It's going to be good to get in there and get some stuff done. But it's nice for him. When he's done, he's done. He can go into the summer in his classroom and do stuff in the summer, whatever he needs to do. He can, you know, do class prep at home. He doesn't. That's the thing. Like in this digital age, you can do so much at home.
Oh, yeah.
So he will. But I took yesterday off and it's a few days a year. Two, maybe three. Before I did a weekday show, when I was doing Saturday shows, I would take off. I would use some vacation days to go on field trips. But I just really like being here.
Mm-hmm.
And we live by all of our grandparents. So my parents and my husband's parents like to go on vacation or on these field trips too. And I think they're probably more fun than I am, honestly.
Have a great time.
I'm stressed out. There's all these small children. Mm-hmm. We can't lose any of them because that would be really bad. You go to a field day or the zoo. And then there are other kids.
Being a parent during a field trip, I could not imagine the pressure.
You know what's worse? Being a parent in the classroom at like the Valentine's Day party and having to do crafts and stuff and like contain these kids who you're like, here, eat this cupcake and this cookie and then let's decorate this cake and eat that too. And here's a bag of candy. And then you're like, will you please sit still and make this popsicle stick puppet for me? Please.
Bouncing off the walls.
I was not good at it. I love children. But I have to contain a group. I'm just not good at it. So I took yesterday off. It was a beautiful day. I sent you a picture. Mm-hmm. You said, how is moving the kids out? I was like, it's great. We're at the pool. It's wonderful.
Pool day.
So I went to chapel and I got to hear these kids sing and it was great. And then after that, we went to McDonald's and I let the kids get shakes.
Ooh.
They looked at me like, Mom.
That's awesome.
Chocolate shakes.
Gosh, I miss that.
Tony, you ever have shakes as your drink with your food?
Yeah. Oh,
still?
Yeah. No, well, no.
Well, I mean, like, not no carb, Tony, but.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
But,
yeah,
like, as an adult?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Heck yeah.
That was such a treat.
It is.
Shakes What's your favorite?
Such a treat.
Flavor.
I like malt. I like a vanilla malt,
mm-hmm.
but the malt should be powder, not syrup.
Yeah.
But if it's just a shake, I like strawberry.
Booyah.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, strawberry yeah.
Strawberry is great.
Strawberry. Mm.
Dip a fry
all
in it.
All the way. Oof.
If you go to...
Grace discovered dipping fries and shakes like about 6 months ago.
So great.
And it's been like
and
a revelation.
8-year-old life has been changed.
No, Grace. 15.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She has... Yeah. And now it's just mind-blowing for her.
It's the best.
Did she share with Maggie?
I don't think Maggie's into it. I don't think it's that good.
I think it tastes good to eat at the same time. I wouldn't contaminate those two things.
Salty and sweet.
It's not my move, but dang, Grace is into it.
Well, we got shakes yesterday and then we went to the pool and then Charlie had a baseball game and they won.
Yay!
And
oh my gosh, they're doing so well. Well, I hear about it, they're doing very well.
I guess I should tell you about all the other games. They're learning a lot. I think it's harder on the parents than it is the kids. The kids are having fun. The mm-hmm. kids are having a really enjoyable experience learning. And I would say my estimation is probably 70% of the parents are athletes or former athletes. and you're talking about 9-year-old kids who really enjoy winning. And if they don't win, it's, you know, what are we doing for the rest of the day, Mom? And you're like, thinking about what you've done today.
Dwelling. That's what we're doing for the rest of the day.
That's not really true. I think the parents are learning lessons more than the kids. Yeah. Anyway, let's do this.
Now, let's get to the highlights.
So, American Taliban is to be released from prison today. John Walker, is it Lind? Is
that yes.
Lind, am I saying that correctly? Mm-hmm. The Islamic militant who became known as the infamous American Taliban is set to be released from a U.S. federal prison Thursday, despite lawmakers' concerns. Lind, who has been behind bars in Terre Haute, Indiana, is set to be discharged several years before he would complete the 20-year prison sentence he received for joining and supporting the Taliban. The former Islamist fighter and enemy combatant was arrested in 2001, just months after the September 11th attacks and the start of the war in Afghanistan, along with a group of Taliban fighters who were captured by U.S. forces. In a letter last week to the Federal Bureau of Prisons, lawmakers expressed concerns about the, quote, security and safety implications of freeing an unrepentant terrorist who officials say continues to, quote, openly call for extremist violence.
Ugh.
They also sought details on how the agency is working to prevent prisoners such as Lynn from committing additional crimes after their release and asked which other, quote, terrorist offenders are next in line to be freed. Good grief.
Mm.
Bad.
You know that he is the inspiration.
Yeah.
Of Andrew.
Golly.
Andrew's name.
So if you ever hear anybody talking about Taliban on the Dave Glover Show after we get off and you're like, what's going on here? This guy who is dubbed American Taliban became the inspiration for the nickname of Andrew.
Yes.
When
Andrew was hired, he has that, you know, that beard and kind of that scruffy look.
You know, that
and
beard.
So Dave, on one of Andrew's first days, said, do you remember the American Taliban? Andrew looks like the American Taliban.
Oh my gosh.
And that's it, where.
And 10 years later, here we are.
Stuck. And it just stuck.
And he goes by Taliban. Yeah. Like he answers to it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I don't think he likes it, though.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Great nickname.
Senator Josh Hawley says he is canceling his trip to the U.S.-Mexico border to return to Missouri to view damages left by strong storms. Severe weather swept across the state overnight, left 3 people dead and dozens injured, caused significant damage in Jefferson City. Hawley said on Twitter this morning that he is flying back to Missouri to see the damage and do what he can to help.
This is going to be a shocker for everybody in this room. A study published Wednesday on PLOS One found that women were more productive when they were working in a warmer room.
Oh, gosh!
Showing that cold offices...
I'm struggling so much right now.
I know.
And if you could see me on the webcam, which I think we're having trouble with...
Yes, we are.
You would know that I'm freezing.
It's cold. Showing that cold offices may be hurting female employees' performance. It's been documented that women like warmer indoor temperatures compared to men. But the idea until now has been that it's a matter of personal preference. Tom Chang, co-author of the study, told USC News. More than 500 college students were asked to take 3 different types of tests. The report showed that men performed better in colder offices spaces than warmer ones. The decrease in productivity was partially due to the fewer answers that were submitted, while women began answering more questions in warmer settings. Mm. So scientific study, people, warm up the room.
I actually changed my clothes this morning because I remembered how cold it was going to be in the studio. I had a dress on, and then I was like, nope, can't do it. And now I need a sweater.
Mm-hmm.
Send help.
In sports, the Cardinals played a doubleheader with Kansas City here at Busch Stadium yesterday, losing the first game 8-2.
I think we won overall.
Winning the second game.
So like if you combine the scores.
We won 10-3 and we lost 8-2. So
12-11.
There you go. They're off today.
So we won.
It's cold. We don't do math. Leave us alone.
They're off today. Before hosting Atlanta this weekend. And don't forget, Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals between the St. Louis Blues and the Boston Bruins is Monday night in Boston at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, Blues! This is the rest of that clip. I've never let it go this far.
Great.
It's fantastic. It's going to be so exciting. I'm a way to to end a Memorial Day celebration with
Blues go marching in.
Stanley Cup final.
You're
game
talking
one.
To a you're talking to a big Blues fan now. I'm just saying.
So Tony, real quick before we get to a break, because we're going to get to our guest here in just a second.
Yeah,
I want people to tweet at Annie Fry Show at Tony Colombo 971. Leave Katie out of this because Tony and I are going to decide.
Oh!
We want Katie to do a feature called Not Sports with Katie Fitzpatrick.
Yeah,
and I think it should start with the Stanley Cup Finals.
Absolutely. Where? How else could it start?
It's no better way.
There's right. No better way.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to speak with Chris Jacobs of The Federalist. We wanted an expert one to talk about healthcare. We got into a big discussion earlier this week. Got a little tense. And since I was, wasn't I told that I was stupid or mm-hmm. something? I mean, essentially, like, let's sum up. So since we're going to get someone who's way smarter on these issues than I am, and hear what he has to say about that. That's Chris Jacobs, Juniper Research Group founder and CEO and author at The Federalist. He is going to set the record straight, and I'm going to listen and take notes in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Also says, quote, every individual who is a resident of the United States is entitled to benefits for health care services under this act. Not every individual who's a citizen, but every individual who's a resident.
Mm-hmm.
So you support giving universal health care, Medicare for all, to people who are in this country illegally?
Let me just be very clear about this. I am opposed to any policy that would deny in our country any human being from access to public safety, public education, or public health, period.
Kamala Harris, earlier this year, wants to be your president, and she wants to use your tax dollars to help make sure that everybody who comes here legally or illegally is well taken care of. Here to talk to us a little bit more about the insurance industry and where we are on universal health care and private health care is Juniper Research Group founder and CEO and author at The Federalist, Chris Jacobs. Chris, it's a pleasure to have you on with us today.
Great to be with you, Annie.
So we talked a little bit earlier this week about universal health care. We had some callers who were suggesting that it's the right direction to take the country. They happen to also be on the left side of the aisle. And then you hear people on the right side of the aisle saying, no, we don't want universal health care. Just give us a very base level view of what universal health care in the United States of America, in order for it to be fully functional, what does that mean for the American patient or the American taxpayer?
Sure, Annie. I've actually just finished a book. It should be available on Amazon in the next week or two, outlining the case against single payer. I think it would reduce the quality of health care provided, and it would also result in significant federal spending and significant tax increases. We're talking at least $32 trillion over the next 10 years. To put it in layman's terms for the average listener out there, that requires would require more than doubling individual and corporate income taxes.
Ugh.
So whatever check you write to the IRS that you see at the bottom of your 1040 every year,
mm-hmm.
double that amount is the minimum of what we would need to pay for a single-payer healthcare system.
So is that, you're talking federal income tax, correct?
Correct.
Does that have an effect on state income taxes as well? Because here in St. Louis, obviously I'm in Missouri right now, but I actually live on the other side of the Mississippi in the state of Illinois. Our new governor has been very aggressive at wanting to make us the most progressive state in the union for health care. And in Illinois, we continue to see these high rising taxes on every front. Does this at all come and attack you at different levels, or is it more of a federal tax that would find its way into people's paychecks?
Well, first of all, my condolences for living in Illinois. I know that state has its own budget and fiscal and tax problems.
The suffering is real. Yeah, it's hard.
But it ultimately would shrink the size of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
The tax increases would shrink the size of the economy, that we would be devoting so much more of our economy towards health care and less towards other things that people might want to spend money on.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that you have all this health care that you could get provided for free and you could go to the doctor with no copayment and all that sort of stuff, it sounds great. But if it leaves the rest of your life poorer,
right,
then it's not such a good deal.
So it'd be a massive tax increase in order to make this system even fully functional. But let's talk more about, so that's the taxpayer implications. Let's talk about the healthcare implications, because if you're going to pay a lot more out of your pocket to get something, you would hope you would get a lot more for what you're investing your money in. The average American middle class citizen now under this universal healthcare plan, what's their healthcare look like?
I think it's going to be a problem on several different levels. First of all, when everything is free, okay, people instinctively want to consume more care. I mean, it's the old joke about, you know, people at the buffet.
Oh, yeah.
And so the problem is, we've seen estimates. The Liberal Urban Institute said national health spending would rise 16%. Okay, and it would rise even higher than that, but for the fact that the supply of care is not going to keep up with the demand, that everybody's going to want to go to the doctor, but there aren't going to be enough doctors and hospitals to take care of the patients.
So one thing that a lot of callers who want to challenge the idea of the private, keeping it private, one thing they often say is, listen, these people go to the emergency room to get their colds treated or to get whatever type of health care they need. They go to the emergency room. They don't pay for it. We end up paying for it anyway. That a universal health care system would help with those types of situations where people are using our healthcare system that exists right now in a way that wasn't really intended. What do you say to those individuals who think that would be a solution to that problem of people misusing our healthcare system?
Well, I actually looked at this in terms of some international comparison. Canada, believe it or not, they have long wait lists for elective surgery. You know, if you need a hip replacement, it could take you 6 months or a year to get your hip replaced. They also have very poor access for emergency care and primary care, being able to get to a doctor right away, some of the longest waiting times in emergency rooms. And then in Great Britain, their health service, they've literally have had, in the last several winters, they have had ambulances waiting outside of hospitals for hours and hours and hours on end because there was no place to put people, because one doctor called it third world conditions in the emergency room because of overcrowding.
Yikes. Yeah, that sounds like not an improvement, especially for the amount of money that it would cost individuals to partake in that system. We've had people talking about a universal healthcare system for a long time. Hillary Clinton, in September of 1993, who you referenced in this article on the Federalist, said this.
As to illegal aliens, we agree with you that we do not think the comprehensive healthcare benefits should be extended to those who are undocumented workers and illegal aliens. We do not want to do anything to encourage more illegal immigration into this country. We know now that too many people come in for medical care as it is. We certainly don't want them having the same benefits that American citizens are entitled to have.
That's in 1993. So you have Hillary Clinton, who just lost the presidency in 2016, who said that when she was pushing universal health care in the 90s. Now you have Kamala Harris, who I played coming into the segment, saying that she said she wants to take everyone's health insurance away and replace all of that with a government option. And now we're finding out that she definitely wants to provide this type of care to the illegal immigrants who come here, undocumented individuals. What would that do to our system?
I think it would drive up demand for care. You know, Hillary Clinton was right. She did say, in fairness, that in limited cases, for instance, a communicable disease, you don't want an immigrant, regardless of who they are, coming into the United States and giving a disease that, that might get transmitted to citizens.
Mm-hmm.
She offered some said there would be some limited benefits for those undocumented, and we already provide those, but said this is providing full benefits would be a magnet for individuals to come to our country illegally. And Kamala Harris and other Democrats, Joe Biden, said the same thing. You're going to see this. You're also going to see benefit tourism. The House and Senate single-payer bills say that individuals cannot travel to the United States for the sole purpose of receiving free health care. So that means, for instance, if somebody wants to come to St. Louis and they say, well, yeah, I want to get a free heart transplant, but I'm also going to the Gateway Arch and I might want to see a Cardinals game, that sort of stuff, then that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the bills say, and that would encourage individuals to come from developing countries, countries with poor healthcare systems, countries like Britain where they might have to wait for care anyway,
yeah,
to come to the United States for free healthcare.
Well, it definitely doesn't seem like the investment is going to return a better system for the American taxpayer. Thank you so much, Chris Jacobs, Juniper Research Group founder and CEO, also an author at The Federalist. We appreciate your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Encourage people to check out his book. It's going to be The Case Against a Single Payer, probably on Amazon in a week. We'll be right back.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.